Hey, we're concluding our I Commit series today, and it's been a four-part series. And over the past few weeks, we've been talking about how a simple commitment can make huge life change. And we've borrowed the lowercase I from the Apple Corporation, which has taught us how to take complex technology and simplify it and make it more user-friendly. And they've made billions and billions of dollars just by simplifying something that's complex. Now, one of the things I've noticed about Christianity is over time, we've taken something that started with a very simple call from Jesus, and we've made it more complex. We've gone the other way. Instead of keeping it simple, we've made it so complex that people aren't even sure what it means to be a Christ follower. I want to get back to the simplicity of the call of Christ. And so over these past few weeks, we've been just drilling back down to what does it mean just to make three simple commitments that really emerge out of one challenge. And here's the challenge that Jesus gives. It's a simple challenge. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And this is the call of Jesus. He says, come, follow me. And I believe three commitments, three I commitments, if you will, emerge out of following Jesus. And the first is, he says, come follow me. He refers to himself. He doesn't say, come follow this church or come follow these Ten Commandments or whatever. He says, come follow me. I'm a person. And so the first commitment emerges out of that. And so we say, I commit to celebrate God's Son. In other words, I will worship Jesus. I will make him supreme in my life. And so that's the first simple commitment that will change your life. Have you done that? Have you decided to give Jesus the driver's seat, to put him in charge of your life, to make him Lord of your life? I will commit to celebrate God's Son. And then the second commitment, Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers. That's plural of men. In other words, he's saying, come and be connected to my other disciples. And so the second I commitment is, I commit to connect to God's people. I will worship God's Son and I will join together with his people. And so it's hard to be a Christ follower without being one of his disciples, plural. And then the third commitment, that's the one we're going to drill down on today. I commit to contribute to God's kingdom because Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I'm going to give you a life mission to reach the world with the gospel, to usher in the kingdom of heaven. The most powerful institution on planet Earth is, it's not governments, it's not nations, it's not corporations, it's the body of Christ, it's the church. And so he says, I'm going to turn the world upside down, I'm going to usher in the kingdom, and my strategy for this is through you. Are you a contributor today? We live in a culture today that is consumer-driven. We're in a presidential election year, and we constantly hear this mantra from the media that whenever one of the candidates strays off topic, they go, it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. It's all about the money. And so that's the way you win an election, but that's not the way you build the kingdom. Today, I would say to you, it's not the economy. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about being a consumer, a taker. This will not fulfill your life. No matter how much you acquire, no matter how high you stack it up in neat stacks, you will not be fulfilled. No, you weren't made for that purpose. There's a couple of reasons why we need to move from being consumers to contributors. One is because God made us that way. God made you not to be a taker, but a giver. Not to be a consumer, but a contributor. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He made you to be a contributor. He made you to be a channel of blessing. And as you receive from God, as you open your hand to God for his blessing, if you want that to pour through you, you have to open your hand to this world and to give to others and be a channel, be a conduit of God's blessing. You're made that way. Here's a second reason that we need to move from being takers, consumers, to contributors. It's because God has given us, what He has given us is meant for serving others. He didn't give you what He gave you just for you. He has given you what you have, and so you could be a blessing to others. And you will find great purpose in this if you would come to understand this. 1 Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be a contributor. And that's what we're talking about today. Have you made the commitment to be one who contributes to the kingdom? And maybe another way of asking this is, how do you get to be great in the kingdom? What does it mean to be great in the kingdom? Because, you know, after all, we are Americans and we all want the gold medal, right? You know? What does it mean to get the gold in the kingdom of heaven? Well, you're not the first to ask that question. A couple of the disciples were talking about this one day, and they said, I think I'll be the greatest in the kingdom. No, I think I'll be the greatest. And sort of an argument broke out. And two of the disciples were brothers, James and John. Jesus nicknamed them Sons of Thunder because apparently they had tempers. And as strong-willed as they could be, they could also be mama's boys, because mama got involved on this particular day in the book of Matthew chapter 20. She brought, she pulled Jesus off to the side. She said, Lord, can I talk to you about my boys just for a minute? Haven't they been good disciples? You know, we've raised them up right, and I know they love you and they're following you. And I just got one little thing I want to ask you. When you come into your kingdom, could you have like two extra little thrones built? One on the left, one on the right for James and John. Is that too much to ask? She thought that was greatness in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, well, here's the thing I want you to answer. First of all, do you think they can drink the cup from which I'm going to drink? And the boys, they said, we can do it, Lord. We can drink. They had no idea. We can do it. He goes, you know, as a matter of fact, you will drink from the same cup. Because they did. He says, but it's not for me. It's my Father in heaven that determines who gets those seats. And then he goes on to explain to them the real secret of greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Would you listen in as he answers the real question? Starts at verse 25 of chapter 20. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. You don't ascend to greatness, you descend to greatness. You decrease in order to increase. That's what he taught his disciples. Now, can we unpack this today and talk about what it means to commit to be a contributor in the kingdom of heaven? And another way of saying this, a way of remembering this, is do you want to be fat? This is your opportunity to celebrate being fat. Aren't you just so happy to be? Instead of checking your BMI today, your BMI, we're going to check your SMI, your spiritual mass index, okay? We're going to check and see if you are fat spiritually. I'm going to give you these three letters, F-A-T, of how you can be a contributor, how you can commit to this. Here's the first. Be faithful. Be faithful. Notice, let's start with the last verse, verse 28, that Jesus didn't come to serve, but to be served, but to serve. And more than that, it says he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was faithful. He did not shirk even the cross. Whenever God the Father called him and sent him, he did all that the Father expected. He was faithful. He came to earth knowing, even from a child, knowing that he was to be offered as a sin sacrifice for our many sins. And it wasn't accidental. He wasn't a neophyte who misunderstood the political environment of that day. No, he was aimed at the cross from day one. He came to die. And he was faithful. He was faithful every step of the way. He was obedient even unto death. And then he says, can you drink of that cup? That's what it means to be great in the kingdom. Jesus invites us to come and die. To die to self. To die to me. To die to my own plans, my own desires. And to be reborn and to live in Christ. To become a servant of Jesus. To be one who is like Jesus that does whatever the Father says. This is the commitment to be a contributor. It's a call to be faithful. He wasn't just mostly faithful. He didn't walk halfway up the hill of Golgotha. He walked all the way up the hill. And as he hung upon the cross, and as he took our separation, because we are distant from God without Jesus, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took our distance from God. Are you distant from God today? He took that so you could be brought near. And then the sins of all of humanity fell upon him, and God turned his back upon his Son, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. And so he took our sin and offers us his righteousness. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but Jesus took our death and offers us his eternal life. A great exchange is offered to us today. He was faithful. He took our separation. He took our sin. He took our death. And he offers us a relationship so that we can become sons and daughters of the Father, so that our sins can be forgiven and we can have righteousness, and so that we don't have to die. Now, these bodies will pass away, but spiritually we can live forever because of Jesus. He was faithful. Can you drink of this cup? And he said to the disciples, you surely will. And if you follow him, you can die to self. You can be faithful. What's that look like? What are some practical ways we can test this? Jesus was faithful to God, it says in Hebrews 3:2, who appointed him. And then 1 Corinthians says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. You've been given a call of Jesus. Will you be faithful? Now, can I give you three arenas that you can test? You can ask the Holy Spirit right now, am I faithful in these three arenas? The first is how you spend your time. I'm going to give you three T's. The first is time. Now, you can tell a lot about a person by looking at their date book and their checkbook. Where do they spend their time? Where do they spend their money? If worship is this, you see someone who is worthy, and then you give them what they're worth. That's what worship is. You see someone who's worthy, and you see Jesus, and you say, he did all those things for me. He was faithful unto the end. And so he's worthy, and so then I give him what he's worth. Does he deserve a portion of my time? Are you faithful to give him a portion of your time? And as you give him your time, are you faithful to give him the best of your time or the leftovers? And if you give him the leftovers, you probably aren't giving him any time, because none of us have enough time. Well, can you do this? Well, I don't know if I have time. None of us have enough time for anything, do we? We're the most time-oriented culture in the history of mankind. We live by the clock, and we're just constantly late. We're always trying to make enough time, but do you make time for Jesus? Now, here's what I would say. You should give him the first part of every week. Here you are. Praise the Lord. You got this one going. Here you are. Hopefully, you're here for the Lord. You're here today. You're giving him the first part of your week. Give him the first part of every day and read his word and pray and have a quiet time. Give him time in your life. Carve out time. Be involved in a community group. Make time in your calendar for a community group. If I were to look at how you budget your time, if I were to look at you young people, I got a lot of young people, they've been in Youth Week all week, and listen, I'm so proud of you. I saw that video and saw you on Friday, out sharing your faith at going door to door. You were sharing your faith at laundry places. I saw you working at Hope Station and all these different places. They're beautiful, beautiful. Thanks for sharing your time this week. But if I were to look at your time once school starts and once you get involved in all your sports, are you carving out time for God? Just I'm asking you that. Are you faithful with time? John chapter 9 says, all of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. Here's what Jesus is saying. Work while it is day, because night cometh. There's a sense of urgency. The end is near. If Christ were to come today, how would you account for the way you've spent your life so far? What account would you give for the time you've given? Have you been faithful with your time? There's a sense of urgency about this. Here's a second T. You said something about the date book. You can tell a lot about a person's calendar. You can also tell a lot about their checkbook, treasure. That's the second T, treasure. Why don't we do this right now? Everybody get your checkbooks out and pass them down and just let everybody in the church see how much money you make and where you spend it. Nobody's running. That's good. Nobody's moving either. Are you serious? Listen, the holiest thing in the American psyche is the hidden place of how I spend my money. That's none of your business, preacher. I don't even tell my wife what I do with my money. And you'll be in for marriage counseling soon. We're so secretive about our money. Probably because we don't want people to realize that we've borrowed all the money to buy the car and the house, so we really don't have enough money to substantiate the stuff we bought. We're in hock up to here. That might be one reason. Another reason might be we're spending a lot of money on stuff that we would be ashamed for anybody else to know about. Luke says, whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. Whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. If then you have not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth? It's a test. How are you doing on the money test? Do you think it's your stuff? The Bible says that the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is His, and the people thereof. It's all His. Do you think it's yours? Mine. It's a test. How are you doing on the time test, the treasure test? Are you faithful with what God has entrusted to you? Here's the third T. It's talent. God has given each of us talents, abilities, spiritual giftedness, and He wants to have you use it to build up the kingdom of heaven, to edify the church. It's not to edify self. He gives you what He gives you to edify others. And we know the story in Matthew chapter 25 where He gave 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and 1 talent to a third. And He left for a season, then He returned and He asked them to give an account. He will ask us to give an account someday. Do you understand this? Is this the truth of the matter is he's the boss, He's the manager, and He trusts us with our time, talent, and treasure, and he will ask for an account. And He said to the one who had given 5, He says, what did you do, servant, with the 5? And he says, I invested in the kingdom of heaven, and I doubled it, and here are 10, master. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into everlasting happiness with your master. And then to the one he'd given 2, he says, what did you do with the 2 talents that I gave you? He says, I invested them in the kingdom of heaven. And here are 4 talents. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to everlasting happiness. What about you, the one I gave 1 to? And he says, I dug a hole in the backyard and I buried it because I was afraid to use it, because I was afraid I might lose it. Plus, I knew you were such a hard driver, you know, as a master. I was just afraid to let it go. And I kept it. He says, you evil servant. You couldn't even be trusted with 1 talent? Take it away from him and give it to the one who has 10, because I can trust him and throw him out into everlasting darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the story that Jesus tells us about the talents. Are you faithful? Someday He'll ask, are you faithful? Have you been faithful? First, I want to ask the person that's here today who has yet to receive Christ. You've yet to do it. And you've been born in the country where the gospel, it proliferates on every corner. It's on every radio station. It's on TV. It's everywhere. And you have yet to say yes to Jesus. You'll be held accountable for that. Why don't you say yes to Jesus today? What does it mean to say yes? It just means to say, I accept your offering on the cross for my sin. I pray that you would forgive me of my sin, Lord, and come into my life. I invite you. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. That's your next step today, friend. That'd be the best use of your time, talent, and treasure right now, would just be to give him your life. And if you've done that, you've already begun the journey with Jesus today. What's a good next step for a Christ follower today, for a believer? One is, how'd you do on the 3T test? Did the Holy Spirit stir your heart on one of them? Will you be faithful there starting today? The great thing about Jesus is he'll stir your heart up and show you the place that you're out of alignment. But then once you ask him for forgiveness and you go to him and say, I repent, I want to do better, he doesn't bring it up again. He never brings it up again. He separates it as far as the east is from the west. He plunges into the deepest sea. He just doesn't bring it up again. He's so graceful towards us. Would you be willing to follow Jesus unto death? He says he was faithful to give his life as a ransom for many. Would you die to self today and live to Jesus? Have you yet sacrificed for the kingdom? I'm talking about, have you decided to live on less so you could give more, to live more simply so that you could help others? Have you thought about that? How could you downsize? Every time you go through the drive-thru, would you like to supersize that? And so we have supersized Americans everywhere we look, right? Would you like to mega-size that? Took my grandson to McDonald's yesterday. He informed me they also have chicken nuggets. They're not as good as Chick-fil-A, he says. He's 3 years old. He's an expert. My wife, as I was watching Nathaniel, my three-year-old grandson, and keeping him entertained, she brought back our drinks. And she brought back a styrofoam one-gallon cooler with a straw on the top. And I said, she goes, it was the same price. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we mega-size everything, don't we? We supersize everything. But what if we went countercultural and we begin to downsize? Not because we're trying to live out broke thinking. I'm not saying that. I'm not challenging you to be paupers. No, what I'm saying is live on less so you can extravagantly give more like Jesus did. So here's the F. It's faithful. Are you faithful? Now here's the A. Let's move on. Let's get fat before we leave. Available. Be available. Are you available? You see, because God cares more about your availability than he does your ability. He gave you all your abilities. He can give you more, or he can take some away. He can sharpen the ones you already have. He determines your ability, but you determine what? Your availability. Are you available? Will you say yes when Jesus calls? Are you available? If we could keep reading in chapter 20, as it's often the case, Jesus teaches his disciples something and then he illustrates it immediately. And on down in chapter 20, Jesus is traveling along and two blind men are on the side of the road. And as the crowd presses on and they're all crowding around Jesus, the blind men, they hear the passing of Jesus and they hear people talking about Jesus and they hear his voice and they begin to scream out. They begin to cry out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the crowd's like, shh, come on, Lord. Can you keep it down over there? You guys are like charismatics or something. You're just like over the top. You got, this is church. You're out of hand here, you know. These were two-handed worshipers, these two blind men. I mean, they were over there loud. Shh, don't bother the master. To which they cried louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then the scripture says two of the most amazing words in the New Testament. I'm so glad it says these two words. Jesus stopped. He's traveling down the road and he was headed somewhere. He was on the way from point A to point B. Now listen, if I'm on the way from point A to point B, I'm going to ask you before we get in the car, did you use the bathroom? Because we don't stop. Now, as I've gotten older, I'll turn to my wife and say, honey, do you think we need to stop? Would you about to use the bathroom or anything? Because the truth of the matter is, I can't do that anymore. Something about turning, getting past 50. I mean, it's a humbling thing growing old. So I ask everybody to use the bathroom before we go, but it doesn't seem to help me anymore. That's me. God's still working on me. I don't like to be interrupted. I got a plan. And I got to be somewhere at a certain time. I'm a driven person. How about you? But Jesus, who happens to be in charge of the whole universe, who made everything and sustains it, if he took his mind off of it for a moment, it would cease to exist. The book of Hebrews says he sustains it by his power. He didn't just make it and walk away. He's not an absent-minded clockmaker that wound it up and walked away. No, he sustains it by his glory. And if he took his mind off of it for a moment, it would cease. It would come unraveled. I mean, he stopped for these two blind men and he says, what do you want from me? Our sight. And the Bible says he had compassion on them and he laid hands on them and he healed them and they saw and they began to follow him. Are you interruptible? Are you too busy? Perhaps the interruptions of life are actually appointments from God. And you're going every morning going, God, I just want your purpose in my life and I just want to do what you call me to do. And you've got in mind probably something fantastic and people will applaud and say, oh, you're such a great Christ follower. And this is, but probably all day long, he's answering your prayer and goes, here's my purpose. I want you to stop and talk to that person. You see that person over there that everybody's ignoring that just looks a little funny and actually it looks like they might get something on you if you go near them? I mean, like the lepers of the day that Jesus could have healed from a distance, but he always touched them. Those interruptions, what if they're appointments from God and you're missing every one of them and someday you get to heaven and God asks you for an account and you say, but you never gave me. I kept praying. And he goes, what about that one? What about that one? What about that one? And you go, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You just didn't see it. You didn't stop. Proverbs says, don't tell your neighbor to come back tomorrow if you can help today. Here's what John Wesley used to say. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can for as long as you can. Make yourself available. Can I give you three barriers to being available? Three common barriers. One is self-centeredness. You think this life is about you. Philippians says, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Rick Warren says, the number one enemy of compassion is busyness. I'm too busy to be compassionate. Here's the second barrier, perfectionism. I want to help people, but I got to get a little better at this and this. Sometimes just do what's good enough. Just get started with what's good enough. Ecclesiastes says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. How many perfectionists we got in the house? You know, I got 20 projects I need to do, but I can't start them yet because I haven't quite figured out the perfection of how to do it. And here's a third barrier, materialism. And the way we're keeping score is by stacking up more stuff, and we just can't let go of it. And we think we own it, but in fact, it owns us. Jesus says in Luke, no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Are you available? God cares more about your availability than your ability. Wednesday night, my son Jonathan came over, and he was playing in the youth band for the last three nights of the week. And Robin, who looks for every opportunity to get our three-year-old Nathaniel in the house with us, said, bring Nate with you, and we'll watch him. And then when she got him here, she goes, just leave him here. So we still have him. They all went back. We still have him. And he's 3 years old, and he is recently potty trained, to which his papa is grateful. Now, he still has accidents. But I'm also grateful that my wife, who he calls Mingy, is in the house as well, because that's an area that I just, you know, I'm glad she's there. Now, sometimes I have to handle it. When we were at Chick-fil-A a while back, you know, like earlier this week, it's like I got him in the play area, and as soon as I got him in there, he goes, Papa, and he comes out holding himself, you know what I mean? Comes out of the sliding board holding himself. Papa, I was like, whoa, 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 keep it together. And I go running through with him, you know, in his sock feet, because you got to take your shoes off in the play area. Run all the way to the men's restroom. I get him, you know, standing on the lid, because we tried the men's urinal, and he was like, no, Papa. He'd never seen one of those before. So we went to the stall, and I had 1 foot here and 1 foot here, and I said, try to hit, you know, and we worked it out. And, you know, you think this is my life right here, but that's really my life. And then we kept him, we brought him to church with us today. But yesterday, Robin says, what are we going to do with Nate today? And I had plans, because I don't have kids at the house anymore. I always have plans. Well, I'm going to study until noon, and then I'm going to go to the Y and work out, and then I'm going to work in the yard. And here's Nate. And Nate's looking at me like, what are we going to do, Papa? And so you know what we did yesterday? I didn't do half of what I meant to do, but I did hook up a water sprinkler in the backyard, and me and Nate went out in our shorts and chased it. It's a very dignified picture of that. My wife watched, and she laughed every time. I'd say, let's jump over the water, Nate. And every time I can't jump anymore. I try to jump. She thought it was entertaining. Then later in the day, we went out to Toys Not Park, and we walked the dogs, and we fed the ducks. We took like a whole bunch of bread, and we fed the ducks. And none of that was on the calendar. I looked at my Google Calendar. Nowhere did it say feed ducks, walk dogs, run in the backyard in water sprinklers. Did not put that on the Google Calendar. Nate did that to me yesterday. I have to confess something to you. When my children were 3 years old, I was at work. I worked all the time. I'm glad God trusted me with grandkids. I get a second chance. Are you available? God cares more about that than he does your ability. Sign up on a ministry team. Change some diapers in the nursery. Work in the children's ministry and help someone wipe their nose. Be a greeter and be someone who actually touches someone who hasn't been touched since last Sunday, because they live alone and you're the only friend they have. Serve in two places. Serve one according to your sweet spot, the place you're really good at it. Serve there because you'll really build up the church, and that's why God gave you that gift, was to edify the church. So serve in a sweet spot, and nobody will have to make you do that one because you burn to do that one. And then do something really counterintuitive. Serve according to a need in the church or in the community. Serve in your sweet spot, and then make your second job be the place that you have to get down and you're sort of crippled. You're not very good at this one, but the church needs it. And nobody's going to applaud you doing it, but you serve in that spot because that's the one that makes you most like Jesus. That one's the one that humbles you and no one notices. Are you working according to those two places? Let me give you some thoughts here, some practical thoughts. Would you serve this Monday, tomorrow, welcoming college students back to Wilson. It's called Back to Barton. We have people over there. We're going to give out freebies to the students and tell them about WCC so they have a church home when they live away from home. Would you serve in the city? We've got all these opportunities. Would you volunteer to work at a local nonprofit? We have connections with so many. Hope Station, Wesley Shelter, The Spot, the Boys and Girls Club, the Youth of Wilson. I could go on and on and on. Would you serve somewhere in the community? Let me ask you this. Would you sacrifice 1 or 2 weeks of your 2013 vacation to go on a mission trip? Next June, we're sending people to Uganda. You need to give up 2 weeks of your vacation to do that. Would you start praying right now about giving up 2 weeks in June to go to Uganda to work in an orphanage? We're sending a team to Uganda. We sent a team to Guatemala this past June. We're connected to Guatemala now. We're going to keep sending help to Guatemala, but we're getting ready to send out another scouting team to another part of the world. That's the kind of church I want us to be. That's the kind of church I've dreamed of for 20 years, and God's doing it now. So right now, just start praying about it. Am I available? Yeah, but I was planning on going on a cruise. You already did three. Come on. Go to Africa. Do something risky that you've never done before. Because following Jesus is never like riding on the highway. He always takes us off-road. Be teachable. That's the T. Be faithful, be available, be teachable. Verse 27, Jesus says, "And whoever would be first among you must be your slave." You want to come in first? You want to be head of the class? Then stop being a know-it-all and start being a learner. All great leaders are learners. They're lifelong learners. They never stop learning. If you want to be a great leader someday, be first of all a learner. Be teachable. Be humble. Be submissive to the authorities that God has put over you. Be submissive to the preaching of God's word. Do what God's word says. Don't try to figure out loopholes. Be submissive to your parents. Young people, even when your parents get it wrong, you're not right to go against them. Trust them and trust the Lord who put them over you. Be submissive to your parents. Be submissive to your boss at work, even though they really irritate you. Be submissive to your teacher at school. Be teachable. Be humble. Submit to the authorities over you. This is part of being fat. If you want to be a contributor, if you want to be a leader someday, you have to first learn to be a great follower. All great leaders were, first of all, great followers. Are you teachable? If you want to be first, decide to be last. Decide to be a learner. In the book of Mark chapter 9, Jesus, it says, he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must first be last of all and servant of all. Paul writes in Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Have you seen this website? I encourage you to check it out. I was going to pop one of their videos up, but all of them are like 7 or 8 minutes long, and you can watch those at home, but we just don't have time on Sunday morning. But it's called I Am Second. Have you seen anybody seen that? I Am Second. Look that up. Google that. Not I am first. I am second. God, you are first. I am second. My spouse, my wife. Wife, you are first. I am second. My grandson. Grandson, you are first. I am second. My church family, you. Each, any person here, you know, you are first. I am second. In other words, I'm last. Can you live like that? Who's going to take care of me? Well, if all of us live like that, we'll all be taken care of. Who's going to be brave enough and courageous enough to follow Jesus and be second? If you're a person here today and you don't believe in Christ, you have yet to commit your life to Him, your step today, your first step, your best step is just to do this. I just give you my life, Lord Jesus. I give you my life. Come and move into my life, and I want to follow you. Just say yes to that invitation. Come follow me. If you're a new believer, you haven't been a Christian long, you don't know this book very well yet, stop saying, I just don't understand that book, and start saying, I'm going to dig in. I'm going to dig in. I'm going to join a Bible study. We're looking at offering some new Bible studies this fall, so watch for that in the bulletin. We've got people requesting parenting classes and financial classes, and those are important. We'll offer some practical stuff, but we're also going to be offering classes for new believers. We're going to be offering classes on books of the Bible and doctrine and different things. We can't offer them all in the fall, but be watching. We'll try to offer as many as we can as we grow teachers, but we want to help you grow. But you have to help yourself. You have to decide, I want to be a learner. Find a mentor. Find someone that's a little ahead of you. You're a new believer. Find someone that's a little ahead of you as a Christian and say, hey, can we have coffee once in a while and let you just kind of look over my stuff and maybe teach me more about the Word of God? And be a learner. If you're a believer and you've been a follower for a while, here's what I would say to you. Be a mentor. Be one that's willing to invest in others. And grow deeper and deeper in God's Word. And ask God this. Ask Him this. You've been a believer for a while. Ask Him this. God, am I doing what You want me to do? And some of you already know what that thing is, and you've yet to do it. And today you just need to repent and say, God, forgive me. I will do the very thing You told me to do. I will be faithful. Because being teachable means being obedient. As we close, I want to ask you just to consider these three I commitments. Just to summarize, because we're at the end of this series. Have you committed to be a Christ worshiper, to worship Jesus, to put Him first in your life? I'm asking you, have you ever done that? If not, would you do it today? I commit to worship Jesus with my life, to put Him first, to celebrate God's Son. Number two, are you a member of a local church? Church close to your home, close enough to where you can serve and be involved? If not, sign up. We have a membership class next week. Join here. We'd love to have you. If not, somewhere where they teach the Bible, where they worship Jesus. I commit to connect to God's people. That's your second commitment, right? And here's your third commitment. We talked about it all morning. I commit to contribute to God's kingdom. And what has God said to you about that today? About the way you're spending your time, your talent, your treasure? And make a decision today. Make a decision today to be that for Jesus. Faithful, available, and teachable. Let's pray. Jesus, thank You for being present today. Holy Spirit, thank You for making Your Word come alive in our hearts. And there are people here today that need to say yes to You. And so wherever you are, would you say this with me? Just pray with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need You. Forgive me of my sin. I know You died on the cross for me and that You rose from the grave, that You live today. I believe that. Come into my life. Make me the kind of person You want me to be. I invite You to be my Lord and Savior. Others are here and you've prayed that prayer. You already have Christ in your life, but you haven't been faithful. Where's it at? Repent of it right now. He's naming it to you. Is it in the area of the way you spend your time? Is it in the way you handle your money? Is it the way you handle the talents and gifts He's given you? Are you a servant? Just say, Lord, forgive me, and today I recommit to give all that I am to You. I want to be a kingdom contributor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to pull